Nobody can be too Jewish.
That's exactly it. You got it.
Shalom, and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together today of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning on Two Jewish is Scott H. Davis, publisher of Jewish Storyteller Press, reviving Yiddish authors in translation, including the first ever release of Jacob Dinizan's The Dark Young Man. We'll also have visits from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and our Shin Shiniot, Young Representatives of Israel, Rotem Rappaport, and Ron Benicote. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Two Jewish.
We are delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning. Scott Davis is the adapter and editor of one of the most important unknown Jewish great novels of modernity, Jacob Dinizan's The Dark Young Man, originally translated from the Yiddish by Tina Lunson and then presented in a new form and available in English, I think in an accessible and interesting English for the very first time. Good morning and welcome to Two Jewish.
Oh, good morning, Rabbi. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
It's a pleasure. So I have to ask you, this is kind of a quixotic project, reviving a great Yiddish author that nobody remembers. Tell us a little bit about how this came about.
Well, it is totally meshuggah. I mean, really it is, and I know it, and I admit it. And I tell people I'm not really sure if I found Jacob Dinizan or if he found me, but about 16 years ago, I started noticing the name of this Yiddish writer who was connected with many of the great Yiddish writers of the sort of late 19th, early 20th centuries.
Right, including Shalom Aleichem and maybe most importantly, Yitzchak Leib Peretz, the great Yiddish storyteller and author.
Yes, and in fact, Dinizan and Peretz were very, very close friends. And so I began noticing Dinizan's name, actually, in relationship with Peretz, in relationship with Shalom Aleichem. And I don't know if it was my background in public television, but I started putting together these dots. And as I started to put together the dots, I started finding out that this Yiddish writer who wrote the very first best-selling novel in Yiddish had never really received any attention in the late 20th or early 21st centuries, and I set out looking for stories by him or novels by him in English. Unfortunately, I don't read Yiddish, and I couldn't find any, and that sort of started me on the journey.
It's an extraordinary journey, and it's an extraordinary book. This novel, now entitled in English, The Dark Young Man, actually sold something like 200,000 copies in the late, not even so late, 19th century. That was an astonishing number for a book written solely in Yiddish for a not very wealthy Jewish public. Was it the bestseller of the 19th century among Jewish novels?
Well, certainly of Yiddish novels. And what makes that number so interesting is that this is Dinizan's number written to one of his colleagues, and that's the number of novels that were sold. Imagine the number of people who received the book, in a family or from friends, and so it was a very significant number. In fact, when it first came out in 1877. Dinizan was living in Moscow, and he couldn't obtain a book himself. He actually had to go to a clandestine bookseller to purchase a copy of his own book. And when the bookseller told him it was a ruble and a half, Dinizan was shocked. He said, "How can you charge a ruble and a half for a Yiddish novel?" And the clandestine bookseller said, "I don't bargain, and if I could have three books like this a year, I would never have to worry again.
It's a great story. We will continue to discuss Jacob Didazon's book, The Dark Young Man, with Scott Davis when we return in a moment here on Too Jewish. We welcome back to Too Jewish our guest this morning, Scott Davis, the adapter and editor of Jacob Didazon's The Dark Young Man, originally translated from the Yiddish by Tina Lundson. In addition to this being, as you said earlier, a kind of a Darfzain Meshuggah project to revive this, it connects you, and this book connects parts of the Yiddish literary world that I don't think anybody without a deep knowledge of Yiddish could have known before. Many of us have, we think of Shalom Aleichem stories, or if we're fortunate, we know Peretz's incredible stories. But there was the tremendous Yiddish literary world flourishing in the 19th century. Didazon is an exemplar of that. Tell us a little bit about kind of the context of all of this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there was an explosion of Jewish culture and literature between, I would say, maybe 1860 to about 1920. I mean, Yiddish literature went on beyond that, but there was this initial explosion of Yiddish literature that took place. Didazon's novel was written in 1877. Shalom Aleichem and Ayel Peretz, they begin to have a presence in the late 1880s and into the 1890s. And that explosion of Jewish creativity began being expressed in Yiddish. Up to that time, the Enlightenment writers were writing in Hebrew. Most of the literati were writing in Hebrew. And it was really Didazon who came to the realization that in order to reach the largest possible readership, he needed to write in the Mamaloshen, the mother tongue, which a lot of the enlightened Jews of the time considered a jargon, considered
not a real language,
exactly.
Like sort of a bastardized version of German. They were, the Haskalah frowned on Yiddish, loved Hebrew.
Absolutely. And Didazon writes to a literary critic, and he basically said, I suddenly realized that if I wanted to reach out to the people, who I want to hear my ideas, I want to hear, receive these lessons. And in many ways, Didazon was a teacher at heart. And in fact, Peretz sort of criticizes him a little bit as a moralist, as an ethicist, But Didazon realizes that if he wants to reach the readers, he needs to do it in Yiddish. And so he's the one that's kind of the proof of concept, because the book becomes so popular that many other Jewish writers jump on the bandwagon. And actually, that's a kind of an interesting part of Dinazon's story, is he becomes so embarrassed by the shund, the schlock that comes, that's written.
the pulp stuff that comes out, because it's a dramatic novel and a dark novel, really.
It is. So suddenly everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, and Yiddish literature gets, I think, a real jump charge from Didazon's first novel.
So he's so embarrassed by all of these pulp novels that are coming up with their schmaltzy stories in Yiddish that he continues to write, but he doesn't publish for many years thereafter, if I understand correctly.
Yes, that's true. And I think perhaps it was when he finally meets Ayel Peretz in the 1880s or the 1890s, he starts to write again. Actually, and when we talk about Didazon and we talk about his connection with these other writers, Shalom Aleichem comes to Dinazon in 1888 as Shalom Aleichem is starting up a literary journal, and he comes for publishing advice to Dinazon, and he asks him for a story. You know, because if Shalom Aleichem has a story by, you know, the author of the first best-selling novel in Yiddish, and he can put it in his literary journal, that's a marketing coup for him. And then a couple of years later, you know, Dinazon publishes Peretz's first book of Yiddish stories. He publishes out of his own pocket and then ships the books to Peretz. So he's really mentoring and advising these Yiddish writers. And then when he becomes really close with Peretz, I think Peretz finally encouraged him to get back into the marketplace, and he does. He then begins to publish again.
His story is also interesting because not only is he an important author, but he's kind of a social reformer. He gets involved in humanitarian causes. He's really quite a guy.
He really is. Later on, first of all, one of the things about his books are they take on the issues that we're facing. His Jewish readers at the time, and he really addresses the social issues of the day. He talks about arranged marriages. He actually says, you know, in America they've abolished slavery, but we continue to enslave our young people through arranged marriages. He talks about the rigid gender roles that were in effect at the time. He talks about assimilation and how that was encroaching on the Jewish world at the time, and how modernity, you know, these modern ideas that were making their way into the world at the turn of the 20th century, how they were challenging the traditions of the Jewish world. So he was taking on, in a very realistic way, presenting real characters dealing with these real issues that were facing his Jewish readers at the time.
So, coming back to the book, Der Schwarze Junger Mannschick, it's really a, when I say dark, obviously the dark is in the title, but it's kind of a story of destruction, right? The whole family. I mean, it's a powerful and interesting tale, but also very lyrical in its style.
Well, I appreciate you seeing that in the book, because you know, when you actually read the book, you can see why traditional publishers or traditional translators would shy away from a book like this. If you're trying to make a living at doing this, and you want a book to be really successful, you don't have a bittersweet romance. You know, you have a happy story, or a story, yes, you know, laughter through tears, as we often say with Shalom Aleichem. But Dinazon really presented that story with, you know, all of its dark sides, with, you know, the tragedy of the ending, and he really holds a mirror up to Jewish society. It's interesting, he sets it in 1840, but, you know, this is what was still going on in 1877 and continued going on in the Jewish world of Eastern Europe. Actually, you know, wherever, you know, people were living, and they were in that traditional Jewish way of life, you know, they were still dealing with these issues, and Dinazon holds a mirror up and says, is this what we want our life to be like?
This is obviously a period of tremendous change in the Jewish world. This is a period when there's huge migration from the Russian Empire to the West, particularly to America. But what people may forget, since we all here in America are descended from the ones who left, is what an incredibly rich culture there was and how complicated the changes were that they were facing.
Yes, and it's very interesting because as Jews were coming to America, to the New World, you know, the land of milk and honey, Life was getting
the golden
more,
Medina, right?
Exactly. Life was getting more and more difficult in Eastern Europe. In 1905, this is kind of interesting, in 1905, there was a failed Russian Revolution, and Russian troops poured into Warsaw. And at that very time, an editor, it wasn't the editor of the Foreword, it was another editor of another Yiddish publication in New York, sends a telegram to Dinazon and says, come over, you will do talks, we will celebrate you as a writer, and we'll even, we'll give you a free steamer ticket to America. And Dinazon writes back and he says, I can't leave now. I can't leave my people as these Russian soldiers are wandering the streets of Warsaw, inflicting violence on our people. So we often don't realize that this was a time that was becoming ever more difficult for Jews in Eastern Europe, under the Tsarist rule of Russia, and so that's one of the reasons why so many people left and came to America or went to South America and various other places, because it was just becoming untenable there.
When you were putting this together, you kind of allude to the fact that Yiddish, a very emotional language, can be a very long-winded language. How did you approach the editing process? Because there had to be some serious editing involved.
Yes, this was an interesting process because, Tina Lundsten, who translated this novel, did a really wonderful job. And I remember reading through it chapter by chapter as it came in, and to be honest, tears welling up, in various places along the way. But once it was all done, once the whole novel was done, and I, tried to read through the entire manuscript, I came to realize that, that there needed to be a way to somehow bring it into the 21st century for a reader that is used to language that we hear today. Now, it can't be completely, a modern novel. It's not a modern novel, and that would be a disservice to what Jacob Dinazon wrote and to Tina Lundsten's wonderful translation. But I felt like it needed to be tightened up. A lot of the very detailed Talmudic quotes that we really wouldn't comprehend today, most of us wouldn't comprehend today, which would have been very, very understandable to Dinazon's original audience, but for us it slowed down the storyline. So there are places where that's there, but not in as many places as there were in the original novel. So it was simply a matter of tightening it up, trying to make the language more appropriate for a 21st century reader, while still trying very, very hard to hold on to Dinazon's spirit and the power of his original novel.
And I should note, Scott, you are an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker. You've written books, Souls Are Flying, A Celebration of Jewish Stories, Hanukkah Tales from Oikvechnik. I think I got it right. Where can people go to find out more about The Dark Young Man and about Jewish Storyteller Press, your press?
Well, this is the 100th Yahrzeit of Jacob Dinazon, the 100th anniversary
of his passing,
right. And literally, in 2014, you could not find an English translation of one of his major works, and you could find very little information about him in English. Almost everything about him was in Yiddish. And so we've spent the last several years trying to have not only his novels translated into English, but also research information. We even had the only literary biography of Dinizan translated from Yiddish into English. That was done by Miri Korol. Two of his other novels were translated into English by Jane Pepler. And so much of that information is now online at jacobdinizan.com. And that's Jacob Dinizan, DINEZON.com. And it's interesting about his name because there are actually something like 16 or 20 different spellings of his name in like, English
it's
translation.
It's like Hanukkah, isn't it? It's, you can
exactly.
spell it however you want.
Exactly.
Scott, thank you so much. The novel is called The Dark Young Man, and I recommend it to anybody and to Jewish book groups as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest get a final musical play out.